The first reading is from Psalm 137, and it is verses 1 to 6. By the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy. Alleluia, alleluia. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Alleluia. Our second reading, the Gospel reading, is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. The birth of Jesus. In these days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who were lying in the manger. When they had seen them, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Christ.
Let's pray before I speak. Come, Lord Jesus, be with us as we look again at your story. Speak to each one of us through a word, through a phrase, or through a picture. Reveal yourself afresh. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Psalm 137 may seem an odd choice of reading for a Christmas Eve service, but given the past year and all that's happened in it, maybe it's not so surprising. We join the Israelites in yet another exile, this time in Babylon. After Nebuchadnezzar's siege of Jerusalem in 597 BC and the destruction of the temple, the inhabitants from Judah were deported to Babylon and held captive there. The psalm is one of lament, and within it lies a deep cry of grief as they remembered their native land and for the temple in which they had worshipped God. It is thought that the people would meet in small groups, congregating, sitting beside the Euphrates and Tigris rivers, away from the crowds, to remember and to weep for all that had been. Their quiet often being disrupted by citizens of the Babylonian city. Their captors were cruel in that they taunted their captives to sing songs of worship. Verse 3, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion, so that they could then mock and demean them even more. Overwhelmed by grief and unable to sing, from choice they hung up their harps, their main instrument of praise, on the nearby trees. How can we sing the songs of the Lord in a foreign land? How indeed? To sing the worship songs of the Lord was considered sacrilege in an idolatrous land. Where else would they want to worship God other than in the house of the Lord? How can we sing songs of worship when we cannot or do not feel joyful? Would they have remembered the prophecies of Isaiah, the promise of Isaiah 9:6? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Would they have had hope that their situation would change? Do we trust God? Do we have the hope that grows out of trust? We may not be in physical exile. We're still living in our own houses, in the same town and country. And yet the land that we are living in at present is a strange, unfamiliar land. Maybe certain parts of this psalm will strike chords of familiarity to our situation today. We may not be ruled over by a foreign king, but our way of life is dictated to by the existence of a virus. We found ourselves isolated from our families, unable to touch, to hug or embrace. At times we've been allowed to meet up in small groups, but again from necessity this has been taken away from us. We have found ourselves suspicious of others around us, making great efforts to fly in the face of our natural impulses and keep the required 2 meters distancing. Misery imposed by an unseen enemy. A strange, unfamiliar landscape and way of living. We've had our places of worship closed, reopened under new rules, closed, reopened again, but they're not the same places that we long for. Numbers are restricted, faces half covered, and singing most definitely not on. I wonder how many of you, like me, find it difficult to enter fully into worship in front of a computer screen, and yearn for that day when we can again meet together as one family in the same place. Sweet will be the day when we can raise our voices in unison in praise to our God, who has been with us through this journey, even if we have doubted it or not fully realised his presence with us. The latter part of Psalm 137 speaks both of sadness and of anger. Remember, O Lord, what the Edomites did on the day Jerusalem fell. Tear it down, they cried, tear it down to its foundations. Sadly, even today we see escalating amounts of anger in the uptick in road rage, peaceful demonstrations turning ugly, and probably as much as anything, sheer frustration. We can lose our way, become disoriented, anxious and worried. Hopefully, with the availability of a vaccine for us, this time of difficulty will be reasonably short-lived. Unlike the Israelites, who went on to experience exile in Greece, Syria, and finally Rome, which is where we join our Christmas narrative. Foretold by the prophets and encapsulated within one verse, John's Gospel tells us, "The Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." During the summer, I read Pete Hughes's book, All Things New, which tells of God's story of recreation from Genesis onwards. When speaking of a specific time in Jesus' ministry, Pete uses the phrase, "Heaven and earth are colliding in Jesus." Trying to find the relative paragraph in the book, I was convinced that the phrase was with reference to the birth of Jesus. It wasn't, and yet it seems so applicable for that one precious moment in time. In the birth of Jesus, heaven and earth collided. Let's just take a sidestep for a moment to reflect on that thought. This is where you need your imaginations. Imagine a meteorite, large or small, hurtling towards the earth. It is on course to land somewhere in an open space. We don't want anyone getting hurt. As it hits land, it fragments, sending pieces far and wide. But what is the result of that impact? The ground bears deep scars or a large indentation, a permanent mark or even a crater. The word collide conjures up images of a powerful impact. As we move further away from that point in time, the craters, indentations and marks become softened and vegetation masks the original impact. In our current materialistic and consumerism society, maybe like the vegetation, we have masked the original impact. Images of that first Christmas and the true meaning become blurred, reality and truth often compromised with fantasy and feel-good factors. But this was no violent impact. This was a loving Father God choosing to send his Son in the form of an earthly child, with all the limitations that that entailed. To be born in humble surroundings, visited by lowly shepherds initially, and then later by wise and more affluent magi. Heaven and earth were colliding. Jesus was quietly impacting the world, whether it knew it or not. And it continues to be impacted today through you and through me. The virus has changed our world, something that cannot be denied. The world cannot be the same. We don't know where or when it will all end. The hope for the Israelites was in the foretelling of a king who would be their saviour. God, in his wisdom, sent his only son, Jesus, to be our saviour. Emmanuel, God with us. When Jesus walked this earth, he showed us heaven through stories and visual aids. But heaven did not disappear when he was crucified. Rather, he gave us the gift of his Holy Spirit to help us make an impact and bring a touch of heaven to a waiting and needy world. The world needed Jesus 2,000 plus years ago. We need Jesus now. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, and through him we receive elements of heaven on earth. And as we await the time when Jesus will once again dwell amongst us, each one of us in our own unique ways can impact the people around us. Jesus came as the light of the world. We are his lights, shining hope into the darkness of the pandemic. The question is, will we allow the Holy Spirit to impact our lives afresh this Christmas? Will we take time to wonder, to be awestruck at the birth of a child who would later go on to give his life for us? Will we allow ourselves to be instruments of hope, of peace, of joy, and of love to all whom we meet during the coming year? Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we take a few moments to reflect, to give you time to speak to us and time for us to respond, we might want to reflect on the words of Adore by Chris Tomlin. You stepped down from heaven, humbly you came. God of all creation, here with us. In a starlit manger, Emmanuel, light of the world, here to save. Wise men bring their treasures, shepherds bow low. Angel voices sing of peace on earth. What have I to offer to heaven's King? I will bring my life, my love, my all. Adore, come let us adore. Oh, come let us adore him. The Lord, worship Christ the Lord. Let all that is within us adore. What have I to offer to heaven's King? I will bring my life, my love, my all. As we take a little bit of time to respond to that, Rebecca will play for us.